So we made it to Corpus Christi Sunday. We've had some beautiful celebrations leading up to this. This was the one thing it seemed like that was missing in the liturgical calendar for many centuries. So now we're happy. We live in a time when it is celebrated, Corpus Christi, a day when we honor our blessed Lord in the blessed sacrament, the sacrament of his body and blood. Of course, all the sacraments are holy, aren't they? What makes the Eucharist the blessed sacrament? We call it the blessed sacrament. Why? Because in this sacrament, Christ physically is with us. So as you know, the bread and the wine are transformed into his actual body and blood, soul and divinity. The other sacraments, he's there, he's present, but not in the bodily form that he is in this blessed sacrament. But how do we know it is really and truly the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Well, I think for starters, it's because he told us so. That's good enough for me. He said at the Last Supper, "Take and eat, this is my body." And then the wine, "Take and drink, this is the chalice of my blood." The listeners on the day when our divine Savior first told them about this mystery, they were absolutely shocked, dismayed, really, by his words recorded for us in St. John's Gospel. And especially when our Lord said, "Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you." So that day, as you know, a lot of people no longer wanted to follow him. They didn't want to listen to him. To them, it was outrageous, Jesus telling people that they were to eat his body and drink his blood. Fortunately for us, St. Peter and the other apostles all continued to follow our Lord. And it was good that they did, for at the Last Supper, they were for the first time given this special food. So we have to approach this blessed sacrament with tremendous respect. In times past, people could only receive the Eucharist very infrequently. People didn't make their first communion until they were 11 or 12 years old. And when they did receive it, they had to be very sure that they did not have any mortal sin on their soul. And so they made frequent use of the sacrament of penance. A lot of people would ask their spiritual director if they could receive the Eucharist at least once a week. If they had a fight with their spouse and didn't reconcile, they would refrain from receiving the Eucharist. If they missed Mass on a Sunday or holy day of obligation and it was their fault, they refrained from receiving the Eucharist until they had the chance to confess. If they broke any of the Ten Commandments in a serious way, they realized that they had committed a mortal sin and would refrain from receiving our Lord. They knew that if they received the body and the blood of the Lord unworthily, they would commit sacrilege. You might be thinking to yourself, "Well, that's the way things are now." Yes, you're right. That's the way it's always been. Is the church strict about receiving the Eucharist? Of course, yes. Why not? Only those who have made proper preparation and who are not aware of having any mortal sin can receive him. Why so strict? The answer is pretty simple. One who receives the sacrament of the Eucharist doesn't just receive ordinary food. The Eucharist is truly the flesh and the blood of Jesus Christ. Sometimes through our history, our Lord God had to renew the belief in this sacrament. For example, in Lanciano, Italy, maybe some of you have been there, in the 8th century, so that goes way back, there was a Basilian monk, and he had doubts about the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. But when he said the words of consecration at the Mass, the bread and the wine literally turned into the living flesh and the blood. And even though it occurred centuries and centuries ago, it is still there. Living flesh, human flesh, from the muscle of the human heart. Perhaps that's why we Catholics generally worship our Lord's Sacred Heart in conjunction with the Eucharist. That which we receive in Holy Communion is indeed our Lord's most sacred heart. And for centuries, we received it on our knees and on the tongue out of an abundance of great reverence. Doing so helped to keep alive the respect and the love that we have traditionally had for this most blessed sacrament. We have a word for what happens to the bread and wine at the consecration. You know it. It's called transubstantiation. It means simply change of substance. What was once substance of bread and wine before the consecration is miraculously changed into a different substance altogether. The bread and the wine literally become the substance of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, the second person of the most holy Trinity. It's truly his body, truly his blood. It's not just a memory of him, something that reminds us of him, like a photograph. The answer is that it's really him. It's truly him. That's why he said at the Last Supper, "This is my body, this is my blood." He didn't say this to remind you of my body and blood. He said it because it is his body and blood. Brothers and sisters, let's rejoice Corpus Christi Sunday, and let's show our Lord the greatest reverence that we possibly can, because he's God. He's God incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ. To him be all the glory, the honor, and praise now and always, and forever.